Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 352, Being a Mirror. I hope this finds you healthy, happy, smiling, doing your best, and being thankful. So there's a lot happening, in a lot of cities, and LA being one of them. And I have very, very different experiences than most people. Single dude with a dog in Hollywood, that already makes me very different than a lot of people that I'm around. But what I'm focused on, what I think about, a lot of things are kind of different. But there's no way you can not be affected. You know, I get affected when I go into a store now. You know what I mean? You watch news, you're affected. So, you know, to me, it's maintaining that balance and how you walk that walk. That's important. You know, like my favorite quote right now. I haven't put it out yet. I just read it. It said, what really matters is how well one walks through fire. And I just, like, I loved that. You know, walking through fire pretty much paints a picture. And it's just bad. There's not a lot of good. Well, you know, look, there's nothing, no good walking in fire. But you're going to have to sometimes. How well do you walk through the fire? That's what really matters. So you got to be the best you. So I share some moments in my life in Hollywood. And then I chat about the simplicity of what I do. And a statement that I found odd to say, but what I do and what I see is really easy to me. What kind of shocks me is that people don't see it as fast as I do. They can't see it in themselves, which I do understand. But it's a trippy thing for me to really have struggled in most of the areas of life that I have pursued. And then fast forward, I land in this place where, you know, it's, I always say, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. This isn't algebra. It's not physics. It's not calculus. It's, you know, it's easy to me. And I started using that analogy, going, I'm just a mirror. I'm just going to tell you what I see. Because a mirror doesn't go, well, how are you feeling today before I tell you how you look? You know, and a great quote is, if one looks in a mirror and you don't like the reflection, you change the image, not the mirror. So a bunch of it was just really kind of factual. Here it is, black and white, boom. Now, how that makes you feel, how you react, how you respond, totally on you. But I'm just going to be a mirror. If what I say, you know, doesn't make you feel great, that's what I'm seeing. And if what I say I see makes you feel great, then, you know, that's what I'm seeing. But it's not a critical mirror. It's just a mirror. And, you know, to me, the simplicity, you know, look in a mirror, there's the reflection, there it is. Just, it's not, wow, that mirror's amazing. Wow, did you see what that mirror did? And that's exactly how I feel. Because to me, it's such an automatic thing. I, like, interrupt people going, I know what you're going to say. I got it. Okay, think this way, feel this way. Like, okay, that feels better. I'm like, yeah, doesn't it? And then I just become that cheerleader. So I know I'm a minimalist, but I just like things that are simple, you know, because I don't know, I feel like I can just jump up and down on it because I own it, because I know, you know, I'm not trying to figure it out. You know, I'm not hypothesizing, hoping that maybe one day it turns out to be right. And that's something I'm really thankful for, and more of my purple. Because I share a moment talking to a guy, and in my head, there's this voice going, what can you teach this guy? This person has everything that you've ever pursued and never achieved. And then that moment it was like, well, yeah, but see, that's the thing. I got to 55 where I am not having that stuff. That's not what gives you clarity, peace of mind, pro-you perspective. Hard work, pausing, slowing down, asking for help. That's what makes you a better you. And it was just like this kind of cool moment where I was like, what I do, I see clearly. And I see it clearly in people and themselves. And so they're willing to ask me for assistance and pay me to help them see what I see in them. And that is like one of the most fulfilling, joyful things I think I've ever been able to realize about myself. And it really, really makes me thankful that, you know, I can count the things I failed at easy. I can come up with a list of things I've failed at. And then, you know, you hit this part where you're kind of like, wow, I'm kind of at the end. And on paper, this is bad. And then you fast forward 5 more years and I'm like, dude, I love me some me. So it's never too late to start. It's just that, you know, day one or one day, up to you. Little things done consistently. So you can be fantastic at you and your life as is easier. Come to my well by the water that I sell. Enjoy. Hello, 352 is happening now. So I've got some quotes, and this first one's a doozy. People are not addicted to alcohol or drugs. They are addicted to escaping reality. This was obviously a quote I did not write, but something was floating around my head for a very long time, so it just really grabbed my attention. Because, you know, I was thinking about the whole thing about, you know, just drinking, self-medicating, and I was just, I don't know, the last 6 months to a year. And again, just that little murmur in the back of my mind that I never mind. Because I was like, you know, that's it. It's really about you don't like your reality. You know, you get home from work and you hate that job and you want to distract yourself. And you do that thing. Or you don't like the relationship. So when you're in that home, you want to numb. It's like that blanket. I don't know if everybody has said this at least once. I want to crawl into my bed and hide under, you know, just wrap all the blankets around you and cover them up. You know, just snuggle yourself in there. It's the same thing that drugs and alcohol do. I mean, people can do those things socially and have fun and enjoy and go to parties and concerts, yeah. But it's like when people are doing something consistently that's not healthy. I mean, if you're keeping yourself peace of mind instead of shooting yourself, yay. So let's, you know, keep in mind my point. I'm not trying to judge anybody at all. But like I said, I was just trying to break this down and thinking about my own experience, you know, as well. And it was just like, you know, the night would come and you'd be like, okay, I just want to kind of like not think. I want to turn my brain off. You kind of just want to like numb. But in a way, it's kind of escaping because at night, if it's quiet, I would think, what's in my mind? Well, if I don't like what's in my mind, I don't feel like I can control those thoughts. I search for some sort of external substance, stimulus. But as I became more and more peaceful, and there were times when I'm like, well, I came home and I just sat there in the quiet. I was watching my screensaver and all of a sudden I went, hey, it's totally quiet and you're watching a screensaver. And was like, how am I? And I noticed it because it's like, okay, this is stuff you've never done before. And it was like, well, that's it. If you're cool in the quiet and the space in between your ears is quiet, there's not really a reason to escape that, because now you start finding the joy and the tranquility and the solitude and those type of benefits. And you're like, wait a minute. I want to be like completely full of clarity so I can witness these amazing moments of quiet and silence. So I thought that was a fantastic quote, way to start 352. Are you fired up on 352? I am as well. This is for me. Anyone who makes you lose your cool is making you aware that you have to work on controlling yourself and your emotions, Tom. You may as well have put Tom at the end of that. Anyone who makes you lose your cool is making you aware that you have to work on controlling yourself. And it was worded to, okay, I'm going to hold on to that. I got to word things 75 different ways sometimes for it to sink in. I'm a slow learner. Just who I am, wonderfully flawed. But this one hit me. I'm like, okay, here's another one. Like, it goes into the same box under that, hey, I have a temper. I'm struggling with my anger. And all of that, anything that deals with that goes in that same box. And I just liked what this one said. You know, here it is. Oh, they made you kind of get upset. Okay, yeah, that's something you got to work on still. Why? Well, they didn't do anything to you, did they? No, but what? Do you want to control yourself and your emotions? Of course. Well, now you know that you need to. And you want to. So, yay. To keep the body in good health is a duty. Otherwise, we shall not be able to keep our mind strong and clear. Buddha. And I love that, because it was just, again, there's like a simplicity. Like, you know, the body's, you know, it's just got to do this thing. And if it doesn't, then it's going to affect the other things. And it's kind of that, you know, domino effect, and not in the positive way. Your circumstances can change based on the words you read, hear, and speak. And this is, you know, talking to clients, and they got that little bit of critique, negative voice when they're talking about themselves. They're like, whoa, if you've got that little tainted view, that little, you know, stigma attached to your perspective, it's not going to bode you. It's not going to serve you. So we need to have those positive thoughts in our mind. And as they come out of our mouth about us, they need to be positive and kind and supportive. Instead of, and I might have mentioned this one before, but I love it. Instead of, why is this happening to me? Try, what can I learn from this? I did wrong on my own, learned lessons on my own. I've gotten over shit I thought I would never get over, lost people who I thought would be in my life forever. So trust me when I say I'm good with or without you. Sounds like I wrote that. Wish I wrote that. Didn't write it. Author unknown. Let me say it again. I did wrong on my own. I learned lessons on my own. I've gotten over shit I never thought I would get over. I lost people who I thought would be in my life forever. So trust me when I say I'm good with or without you. This I loved. The quieter you become, the more you can hear. Dum, 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 dum. I awoke, only to find that the rest of the world was still asleep. Leonardo da Vinci. Don't speak negatively about yourself, even as a joke. Your body doesn't know the difference. Words are energy and cast spells. That's why it's called spelling. Change the way you speak about yourself and you can change your life. What you're not changing, you're also choosing. I love that. What you're not changing, you're also choosing. This is a long one. The soundless center. I don't know where I found this, but it was cool. Silence of the heart We spend a lot of time attempting to put the feelings in our hearts into words, to communicate to others our passions, our emotions, and our love. Often we are so busy trying to translate our heart's roar into language that we miss the most profound experience the heart has to offer, which is silence. Every poem arises from the silence and returns to it. When all the songs have been sung, the soliloquies, that word, deliver the emotions expressed, silence is what remains. As each wave of feeling rises and falls back into the silence, we have an opportunity to connect with the vast, open, powerfully healing wisdom at the soundless center of our hearts. Our hearts may seem noisy and tumultuous so much of the time that we do not even associate them with silence. It takes a sensitive ear to tune into the silence of the heart, but it is there in each one of us, so close and so large that we don't even notice it. We can begin to become aware of it in the same way we become aware of negative space in a still life, the background of a photograph, or the open sky that contains the sun, clouds, moon, and stars. We are accustomed to tuning into objects and sounds that are one-pointed, solid, and three-dimensional. Seeing and hearing the apparently empty space that contains these sounds and objects takes a little practice. We can bring our awareness into our hearts by simply breathing into the general area of our heart. The first thing we may notice is feelings like joy or sadness and physical sensations like tightness or tenderness. We acknowledge these as we continue to breathe and focus, listening attentively. We surround these feelings and sensations with breath and recognize that they are contained and held in an immeasurable substance like water or air. Intangible, ineffable, but utterly real. This is the silence of the heart. And the more we listen for it, return to it, and accept it, the more we bathe and purify ourselves in the soundless center of our being. Deep. Beautiful. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it. Eckhart Tolle, big challenge right there. There's what I love. I love the quotes that challenge me. Whatever the present moment contains, accept it as if you had chosen it, like a boss. Do not speak bad of yourself, for the warrior within you hears your words and is lessened by them. Japanese samurai proverb. And that is the final one. So, lots happening in the world, kids. And I know I don't have to tell you that. This is some stuff I wrote down. Things of my past. And I just started thinking about what I don't do anymore. And why. The last time I wore pants, I think it's 3 years ago, Hardwick's wedding, had a boss. And at Crunch, I had a guy that scheduled me. I guess I reported him as a boss, but I didn't really ever talk to him. So it's been a minute. Last time I went somewhere I didn't want to go. Last time I was with someone I didn't want to spend time with. The last time I felt something that I didn't identify quickly and begin to rid it from myself. The last time I thought I couldn't change how I felt or what I was thinking. Things of my past. It's kind of cool to just stop and reflect. I mean, again, if I had the podcast, I wouldn't have been any of this stuff. And I just like that. I mean, for me personally, I just started writing it. And I write it. I got a list. And I look at it all. I'm like, wow, those are things of my past. And, oh, wow, they all kind of like, huh. I can control those things. So I just suggest that as well for y'all. Just to kind of stop, pause, reflect, journal, write some things down, notes. Don't have to make sense. So speaking of notes, here are mine. This is fun, doing the podcast for this long, because I remember stories I told. And when you open my door, you look straight down the walkway to apartment 15. And when that guy moved in like 3 years ago, it was just trouble out the gate. Yelled at me for the parking, yelled at me because he had bugs in his apartment, yelled at me. And then one day he came up and he's like, hey, I need to switch parking. And I noticed it was someone else's car. And I go, yeah, you can't have guest parking. He's like, don't effing tell me what to do. And I was like, it's like the first month he was here. And then he had his boyfriend basically kind of move in. And then they had this rocky relationship and they were fighting and the cops were called. And it was just like this. Everyone else was just cool and calm and quiet. And then there was this apartment. And every time I opened up my door, I would see him. And then when his boyfriend would come and go, we would leave. And his boyfriend started parking in the back. And I was like, how does he get a spot? How can he stay here? You know, I had to start paying for Zen. You know, Zen's a dog. And people had dogs. And this guy's got another person living with him and parking back. So, the 2020 June version of Tom says, what's it got to do with you? And eventually, I acted myself around them and they started to kind of staying away from me. This, you know, I just was like, they don't, you know, I had to do work on it, like years, two, like a solid year of going, are they, you know, looking at you, talking to you, addressing you, swinging at you, no, why are you thinking about them? And if they'd pop into my head, I'd be like, shut up. Like, that was the big test for me. It was like kicking, because it just, I'd be home, and I'm like, ugh. I'm like, what? They're not doing anything to you. Like, and I started thinking, going, see, because if that was magically gone, you, where you are right now, would find something else. This is a thing that just, if it was gone, I'd be okay. No. It's not if everything externally is perfect so you can be okay. Tom. And then the last time I blew up was this little entitled girl who moved in and was just real struggle. And I got set up with the parking, with her tandem, parking behind each other. And one day, I think I told this story, that her manager was out and he comes out saying, I'm her roommate. And so I mean, like, okay, he comes out lying. I know you don't live here. And he kind of walks right up to my car window. And just, I'm like, dude, you're in my, I'm like, wow. And I just snapped and lost it. And 30 seconds after I'm in my car driving away, I hated the feeling that was inside of me. And I wanted to, like, purge. I wanted to, like, make myself throw up and get the feeling I had about getting angry out of my body. Text my manager. I trained my client, came right back. Knocked up on the door to the manager. Did you get my text? She's like, no. I said, look, that will never happen again. Like, I could not backpedal fast enough to erase the feeling I had after I got mad and lost my temper. I never talked to that little girl again. I'm like, just, I know who you are. You don't exist in my world. So that didn't really bother me anymore. Well, she ended up moving out. Apartment 15 ended up moving out. I was like, wow. And part of me really looked at it. And the moment I saw apartment 15, like I saw him moving a couple things and I'm like, they're getting rid of it. They're, I don't know, whatever. But I didn't want to get excited. And then the day, it was like a Saturday. Well, it was, yeah, Saturday. So it was like the Monday was June 1st. It was that Saturday. I was sitting outside my little area was in and they had their door open and I saw their bed was gone. And I was like, they're moving. And that moment was joyful. I'm not going to lie to you. But like the next day, I was like, all right, Tom, 8.5, 8.7, wherever you are. Does it really matter? And I was like, no. I mean, I got to the point where both those people kind of didn't really exist. They weren't really in my world. I wasn't thinking about them. Did I like them? No. Did I make eye contact or, you know, no, I mean, just, I ignored them. So after they moved out, I was like, it didn't really like matter a whole lot. I was like, oh, it's just, it was yellow. No, it's purple. It's like, and I thought in that very quiet little moment of thought, I thought that's a great lesson. You got the bad, you know, neighbor or bad friend or bad employee. You're like, you know, if they weren't here, well, because you are focused on them and you can't focus on something else like what you're thankful for, that's the problem. Because when you get to that place, you're like, I'm just so thankful, and people can't pierce that veil, they tend to kind of fade into the background. And they don't affect you that much. But if you're like, that one person, they're just... You could snap your fingers and that person would gone. Something or someone else would replace it. Because that's your thing. And that was it. I was like, Tom, why is that dude... Like, you are sitting here right now in the place you love with the dog you love. And why are you thinking about that guy? And I was like, what is that? And that's what I did. I mean, it was not a fun, reflective thing to do, but I was like hard on myself. I was like, why are you thinking about these things and these people? And I slowly realized I could stop. So I said things of my past, you know. It's like I wasn't thinking, hey, I can change this thought 2-3 years ago. And now I'm like, stop thinking about that. Poof, gone. And I got this feeling. I'm like, okay, get out of the house. Feel better. Yep, go to the puppet park. How you doing? Wow, fantastic. Door two now. Get out of the house. Go to the puppet park. You feel better. It's like, wow, that's me now. Huh, okay. I've doused out every little candlelight before it turns into a campfire, before it turns into the forest fire that overwhelms me. I'm like, okay. But again, it was just... stopping and pausing, going, okay, there was a little bit of joy, and it feels like there's just a little bit of peace with the yucky dude out, but it really didn't change that much. And that was a great lesson to learn. If you're just sitting there pissing and moaning, pointing at something external, going, that thing needs to be different, needs to be gone, needs to be better, needs to be whatever, that's your problem. So first time ever I was issued a curfew. I was under a curfew as a kid, school, teachers, nuns, anything. Never in my life, and especially where I lived. Dun, 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 dun. One thing you can count on is change. Hello, curfew. And the funny thing was, is Friday night, this, again, end of May weekend, didn't hear anything. No noise in Hollywood. And went to the beach Saturday. Got home. Was watching a movie. And I get a text. A client says, you okay? And I was like, almost bothered by it. Like, I'm sitting with Sam watching a movie. Why are you asking if I'm okay? Just like, it seriously, there's a part of me that gets bothered. Like, dumb question. But I text this client back. And I was like, you know, let me just turn the news on. So I text him back, question marks, and I turn the news on. And before he texts me back, I'm like watching it. And I'm like, wow, and this is Saturday night. And I find out in the next few minutes, this started Friday night. I was like, wow. Again, just kind of sometimes super thankful I'm not watching the news. And I haven't watched it like in over a month and a half. And I watched it for like an hour. I couldn't shut it off. The Grove was on fire, and it was like the Melrose was where all the stores were. People were just parking their cars all over, running in, getting back in their cars, leaving. I was like, wow. Like, I've seen the looting and stuff before, but now they were going to nicer areas. And I don't know, it was just a trippy thing. I guess with everything going on with the pandemic, it just seems like everything is so different and weird now that now this is like kind of chaos thrown on top of that. And I couldn't shut it off. And I was like, middle of watching a movie. And finally, I mean, I was going like 3 different channels. I'm like, you've seen it all. You got it. You know it. Turn it off. And I was like, but it was quiet in Hollywood. Turned off the news, watched the movie, quiet in Hollywood. Sunday rolls around, same thing again, quiet in Hollywood. But Sunday morning, I found all these shoe boxes, which was kind of like funny in a sad way. But, you know, there was no riots or looting going on in Hollywood, but there was so much of that going on, and it was about shoes and watches. Everywhere had empty shoe boxes, and I was like, it's just these shoe boxes like tell this story of like this chaotic night. And it just struck me, because if I didn't know anything and I walked around, I saw eight empty shoe boxes on a Zen walk, I'd be like, what in the hell is that? And I'm like, wow, that's signs of looting. So I noticed two things. One, the curfew didn't affect me. It came out Saturday night for the first time. I was like, you know, after 8 o'clock, I'm like, I never go anywhere after 8 o'clock. Sunday rolls around, it's 8 o'clock again. I'm like, again, still not going anywhere. And I was home chilling, and it was 5-something, 5:15, 5:30. And all of a sudden, a second one comes out and says 6. And I was like, wow, 6 p.m., and I'm looking, it's like 5:30, and I'm like, and again, I was back with Zen, and I was done. I wasn't going anywhere, so it didn't affect me, but I was just like, this is the first time. I'm 55. Oh, it's a trip. Like, wow, issued. But still no noise in Hollywood Sunday night. Monday. I don't know what I was doing. I was foam rolling. I was playing with Zen. And all of a sudden I hear this car and then the loudspeaker, and you knew it was police. And I stood up, and there was, it had to be 8 cop cars, 20 cops, and ended up arresting like 5 teenagers right below my apartment, right on DeLong Prairie. Like, that's when it gets real. Like, I could have spit on the people. And not that I would want to spit. It was just that's how close they were. I don't know why I use that reference. I'd like to take that back right now. But it was just like, there they were. Like, all these cops, all these cars. I don't know what the gun was, but there was this gun-looking thing this dude was wearing. But it had green on it. So I don't know if that was like a, like, shot pellets or something. But it was a different-looking thing. And dude, they were out there like 2 hours. So then the apartment complex, all like 8 people start gathering in my little outdoor area. And I was like, I kept walking. I'm like, what? I didn't know some of the people. And it started bothering me. And I'm like, the people being arrested. That's it. Like, you can go in your house right now and turn on the TV and watch people being arrested all over. Like, and I don't know if people are just bored or sick of being tired. I don't know what it is, but it's just the weirdest stuff. So my client tells me, he's a history buff, way back in the day, Civil War type stuff, families would gather on the hillside, bring food and like a picnic to watch the war. And I was like it kind of clicked. It was like, what is that? And I was like, well, me watching the news and these people outside, like you're just, like you're locked. You can't look away. And it's just sad to me that's consuming us. You know, kids are growing up in this world. Kids are seeing this. It's just kind of a bummer. You know what I mean? And so I go right back to that thing. Okay, what do you have right now that you can focus on? What can you be thankful for? You need that focus right now more than anything. That ability to go, these 3 things I have, these 3 things I love, these 3 things I can control, these 3 things are my blessings. And flame that fire. Flame that fire. And the other thing that was trippy about the texts was as I was getting those 2 curfew texts, I was texting a couple friends in Tahoe planning a trip. And it was just like, I don't know, like 2 different worlds. Here's what's happening right now, but here's my life. I'm chilling, I'm foam rolling, playing with my dog, I'm relaxing, I'm in the Zen garden, all is well. My life's only gotten better in the last 2 months. And the one trip, I'm like, you know, I'm not really gonna fly anywhere. I doubt I'll fly anywhere anymore. Kind of lost that ability to fly, so it's down to driving. It's like, well, I don't really want to drive too far. There's this Llano art festival, it's called LEAF, Llano Earth Art Festival, Llano, Texas. It's an 18-hour drive, but all these dope artists go, and I'm like, you know, do I try flying with Zen? Do I? Am I driving 18 hours? It's just like the thought kills me. So I haven't gone, and that's why. But Tahoe's 8, but it's such a rewarding trip, and the people there. And the last time I went there, it was a great trip as well, but I met this woman, Sue Ellen, and she said, well, you ever come here again, you can stay there. And it's been a while because of all the chaos that's been going on. And just started talking to my friend Brian, and I said, I don't know if it's still offered. I said, I want to come visit, and, you know, if I can stay at Sue Ellen's, it would be great. And I had texted everybody, and I heard back from Sue Ellen, and she says, yes, of course you can. And she has what the whole connection was, is she fell in love with Zen. And she loved on Zen, and I witnessed it, so it made me love her. And that's what happened. But she actually has a pit bull mix, I believe, named Koba. And so this trip, I replied to him. I said, you know, there's always things to look forward to when I go to Tahoe. You know, the friendship, the lake, going somewhere, the conversations, everything about it I love. And I love being with Zen, but, like, Zen's going to have a friend. You know, Stain Free's dope. You know, these people are super cool, but it's like Zen. He's gone to Tahoe, I think, twice now. But, you know, he's going to have a like a live-in friend for a weekend. So I'm totally stoked about that. Like I said, so there's half of my brain thinking about Koba and Zen, thinking about Tahoe, getting excited. And then the other half of my brain is looking out the window at five people getting arrested. Bit of a yin-yang situation. But I'm pumped about Tahoe. So, I'm this far into this episode and I still haven't come up with a title. But I wrote down being a mirror. I've said that a lot. And it was a quote. And said, you know, if you look in a mirror and you don't like the reflection, change the image, not the mirror. And I'm like, ooh, I like that. But I always kind of thought, you know, when I'm talking to someone, I go, look, I'm just going to tell you what I see. I'm just going to be a mirror. If it's good, bad, right, I'm just going to tell you that, like, that's it. I'm not going to go, well, this person is this way, and I should word it. So it's like, I just kind of go, here, this is what I saw. And I normally see it rather quick. And that's the cool thing. Like, what I do, this would be a weird statement I've never said, but I wrote it down. Now I'm looking at it going, yep, still weird. What I do, what I see is easy to me. I know difficult. I know challenging. I've had a difficult, challenging life in many respects. And now I'm like, well, this thing is easy that I do. It's not, I don't, like, I probably shouldn't get rewarded for this because I'm not struggling. Like, I'm not going to school. I'm not going to continuing education. I basically say the same thing every day, all day long to whoever I talk to. And then I get on a podcast, I say the same thing. So it's like, I'm not impressed by myself. I don't get it. But I'm going to share a story about a client. I'm not going to say who, because it could be anybody. But if I look at this client has everything. Job, home, kids, money, everything. Everything in terms of all that I don't have. So if you look at it on paper, you're like, okay, this guy A has all this stuff, succeeded, you know, carrying this load, balancing this load with the big job, with the family, with the wife, with the kids, with the home, responsibility, bills, you know, that whole thing. And then you got guy B, me, failed at all that stuff, was never able to get any of that stuff, thought I would just fall off a truck and get married, have kids, and have a house. I mean, everybody in my neighborhood had one, and they weren't impressive people. And not a rip. I'm just saying, like, you know, I wasn't surrounded by lawyers and doctors. I was, you know, like, regular people that, like, didn't go to college, finished high school, but got a house, got married, and got kids. I'm like, well, that's the easiest thing in the world to do. I'll just fall into that. And here I was, 48, married, divorced twice, both cheated on me. You know, I was like, wow. So I start looking at it going, you know, on paper, that was the hard thing when I moved back to L.A. at 48. It's just like, wow, you know, married, divorced twice. It's been 8 months in AA trying to figure myself out. I'm alone. I don't have much. I don't really know what I'm doing as far as a career. I mean, it was dark just because I had, like, not a lot of confidence in myself, because if you just looked at it, I was, on paper, it was bad. And then you fast forward, and I'm here now in all of 2019. I said that quote, I have less of everything than I've ever had in my life, and I'm the best I've ever been. That carries true still to today. And I sit down, I talk to this client, and he just started kind of telling me about their day, their week, what they went through, got their workouts in, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was just, part of me going, what are you going to tell this guy? He's handling way more than you. He's doing way more than you. He has way more than you. And it was just like, I mean, it was joyous, but it was just like, I was going to go, yay, can you teach me? Can you? But here we were. And the client was so thankful and needing to talk to me. And I sat there going, they have everything I don't have. And that's when it hits. It so much depends upon the space between your ears. If you can't see what I see, then I get it. Then I get someone like that who has all that and is doing it all. For some reason, doesn't feel like he's doing it right, or isn't doing it enough, or could be better, or, like, again, huge white noise, big voice, always poking him in the chest. And I'm like, I see this right away. Like, I just get to go, okay, you're fine, and then they feel better. I'm like, okay, wait a minute, they're going to find out. All I said was, you're not broke, you're fine. And then they smiled and said, can I pay you? And I was like, okay, is there a hidden camera? Like, I'm not, how do you not see what I see? It was just trippy to me. I mean, I got it, I stayed quiet, I didn't expound on that in that moment, but that was all going on internally. And I think it's all this stuff I'm going through. Like, I'm thinking a lot more than ever before. I think I'm changing a lot more than ever before. Like, it's like I'm going into this, like, vacuum or wormhole or something. I'm like, okay, this is where this stuff is, like, this. It's all different now. You see it all different now. Like, sit down, here's the question. 2 + 2 is, and I'm like, you're kidding me. 4. Oh, here, you're going to make money and people are going to be thankful. And I'm like, what? Like, I have struggled, I feel like, in every way my whole life. And now I do something that's easy. And people refer to it as a gift. And people that have so much more than me want what I have. Just okay. I'm okay with that. That's honestly what I'm selling. I got here doing what I've been doing. Not accumulating more, not making more, not saving more, not having more, not doing more. Working on me. Little things consistently. And now there's people with a whole lot more than me wanting what I have. That's like super duper dope. So I got a workout update, and I know people are on the edge of their seats waiting for Tom's workout update, but it's a cool one because this is like a battle for me. 43 years of working out, loving it. And then it was like 4 months of not working out at home because I was working out at home and not a gym. And then I started kind of grabbing the dumbbells and kind of doing a lot of the stuff I did without the machines at the gym, but I was doing mainly dumbbell stuff. And then it was like struggling because I was running and doing that stuff, and I'd have a problem. And so then the live workouts, 47 in a row, ended. And then I had to kind of shift it. And then I was kind of doing it a little bit different. But it was always, I would say, in the last year or two, like me trying to figure out what I was doing wrong, which is not fun. I work out and my joints hurt. It's not fun. I don't know what I did. I've been doing a lot heavier. I've been doing it differently, and now I'm doing it less. I'm doing it lighter, and it's not my muscles sore. It's my joints. So it's like now I just don't want to do anything. I'm like, oh, I'll still run a little bit. I'll still foam roller, stretch a little bit. But I'm like, what is the deal? Like, I want to work out, you know? And then I kind of just created this little thing. I'm like, well, what if I just did these bands and these core moves and took out the majority of the dumbbells? And that kind of was this user-friendly thing. And again, like, I've been doing the same thing and enjoying it for a long time. So this is kind of like, you know, new trick for the old dog. And I'm like trying to embrace it because I just want to work out in some way, shape, or form. But I do feel better. So there's that. I still feel way better than ever, even though I'm not getting that pump, that workout high, like that thing I've just done forever. I work out and I'm like, next thing I'm sore. And I'm like, what's the deal? So there was probably about 2 weeks of less working out, smaller workouts, very infrequently, and waiting for my body to feel better. And the next week I did a little bit. Next week I a little bit more. And then I've had a kettlebell for like 5 years. And when they first kind of came out, I was like, I don't get it. Whatever. One of those things, again, where I looked at it and I'm like, don't need it. It's just another thing and whatever. I would have never even bought one. And I'm pretty sure someone gave it to me because I know I didn't buy it. And it sat here for 5 years. And this is a trip because it was just like the foam roller 10 years ago. It's got to be 10 years ago. My ex saying you should foam roll. And I'm like, don't tell me what to do. That's for people that have injuries. And I'm a trainer and I know. And I laid down on it, and I stayed on it for like 2 hours. I stood up, and I felt taller. It was like a religious experience. And I've been foam rolling ever since. And that was that same almost epiphany where I was like this. And I've done it a little bit. Like you squat, you kind of swing these front raises up. Had clients do that. But I was like, but once in a while, I'll catch a little, they call it like a flow. Like a certain little rhythm of moves with the, you know, someone doing kettlebell. And that started kind of catching my eye. Don't know why. And I'm like, well, my kettlebell's 20 pounds. It's a little bit heavy. I mean, I kind of want a 10 or 15 pound ball on my kettlebell. And then I would kind of like, maybe I should start trying this stuff. So about 2 weeks ago, I'm like, well, let me just see what I can do. I grabbed the 20 pound kettlebell and I kind of started doing a couple things. And I had a couple photos of some techniques that were online, and all of a sudden I kind of came up with not a flow, but like a routine for me. I'm going to do this move, this move, this move, this move, and then this. And I think I made up a couple. And I did that a second time. And in between, I started doing 10 sun salutes, like 10 sun salutes on Monday, do kettlebell workout. And I would do abs on the ball, squats, you know, some push-ups, but no dumbbell. Some bands. It was like totally different workout. But the kettlebell thing was kind of like, well, my muscles were engaged. There's kind of this body movement with it that naturally occurs. So being a martial artist and having everything well generated from your hip and then you pivot, there's that. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, you get this now. So instead of holding your body still and putting heavy dumbbells in your hands and going, okay, hold your body still and do these heavy dumbbells, it probably just became too much on my joints. Where now it's like, okay, use this piece of equipment, which is going to be a little bit more mobile in your hand, although it's a bit heavier. But you're going to do things with moving your body. And it was just like a light went off. And I was like, oh my God. So I'm like, done. So I actually recorded a little kettlebell workout thing that I did. It was like 6 minutes long, and I got done with that. Did, you know, some abs, some squats, and I was like, "This is it. This is the new workout." And I was like, "You know, I change. I'm older. My workout has to change." But it's how hard it is. You know, it's like doing dumbbells for 40 years and going to a gym for 40 years. And I'm at home and then I'm with my dumbbells. And I'm like, okay, no more dumbbells. And I'm like, kettlebell? I've seen the kettlebell for like 12 years. I don't do the kettlebell. But now I do the kettlebell. Pro-U path. Path self-discovery. And here's the beautiful thing. I was like, last couple days, muscle sore. Like my muscles haven't been sore because I haven't been able to work out hard enough. Why? Because my joints were hurt. My joints were sore. They were tight. So it's like you feel like this achy feeling and not good at all. Now I'm like, wow, my body feels sore from my body moving that 20-pound kettlebell. Like my body's sore, not that one part, that one muscle, that one thing. I'm like, okay, Tom's on to the new thing. And just like that, that's, you know, come to my well by the water I sell. New. Okay, here's my new thing. Now this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm doing. It wasn't planned. Wasn't written down. I'm just responding. I'm just adapting. I'm just trying to overcome these obstacles that I cannot stop coming, but I can choose how to respond. And the reward. You know, just kind of doing this fluidity thing. And I was like, I talk about flow. I talk about fluidity with everything. And I'm like, now I'm doing these moves that are kind of, you know, with weight resistance. But I was like, fantastic. And happy. I mean, that was the happiest I've been in a while. Because I like to work out. And not being able to do that and generate that, you know, that stimulus, that positive energy from that workout. It's like, okay, that's one thing I'm not doing. That's one pro-you thing I'm not able to do. I work out and I'm like, oh, I feel bad. It's almost like a negative. And here's the last one. Here's the one I'm going to end with. And I like this. I sat down. Oh, I'll record an episode and then, you know, the next weekend I'll go, okay, I got to send that to Nico. My wonderful producer, the Canadian assassin, Nico Katsalas. And I'm back. But I'll be like, okay, it'll be like the next week. I'm like, okay, I got to do an introduction, the pro you moment. I'll sit down and there's a little bit of confusion sometimes. Like I write something down, I'm like, did I send that out on a quote? Did I post it on social media? Did I mention it on a podcast? Or did I, you know, I do, I get a little blurry about when I said something and where I said something, so there might be, you know, moments of repetitiveness, but that never ever hurts. But I was like, okay, I'm just gonna listen to a little bit of this podcast. And it wasn't like a big thought or anything, but I'm like finding purpose. And I just for a second wanted to listen to the beginning again. And it started. And I started listening to my voice. And my screensaver started. And I sat back. And I started listening to what I was saying. Like I was a listener. And I just sat there. And then I don't know how much, it wasn't that much longer, but I'm like, I did this before once. I sat in my car and I don't know what, like the window for it came up. I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't know that could come up. And I pushed it and went play and I started playing my podcast. And I sat there for like 15 minutes in my car listening to my podcast. I was like, but I liked that I liked listening to it. Like I liked my voice and I liked what I was saying and it was, you know, clear and it was understandable and I liked the point I was making. And I thought it's one of the best feelings in the world to me to the, at this date. It's like at my age, 55, sitting here in the Zen garden, looking at my dog Zen, listening to my own podcast and enjoying my voice while watching my screensaver, which is full of my pictures, of my art, my dog. And I'm like, that's like one of the coolest things in the world to me. Those little moments. And I'm aware, okay, first you're having them. So then like, okay, I've never had those before. Now I'm having them. And then you're like, I'm aware that I'm having them. That's the cool thing. If you're not stopping, pausing, and reflecting, things are going by that you're not really, okay, let me stop and magnify that. Let me flame that fire. Let me feel that for a second. Because the first time I sat in quiet, I wanted to stop and jump up and down inside and go, just by the way, for the record, you're sitting in quiet and you're okay. And that was huge to me. And the other times I've caught myself not thinking in peace, in quiet. 48 years of noise. 48 years of white noise, consistent noise, because of all the yellow I allowed into my life and into my path. Take the yellow out, focus on the purple. Purple glows. Now you can't take your eyes off your purple, so you're humbled and you become super grateful of all the purple. Meanwhile, you've been distracting yourself the entire time from the yellow. It's still present. You're just not flaming that fire anymore. So I'm telling you, 55 to sit and listen. In the beginning, I was like, I don't want to hear my voice. I don't want to hear me talk. And I'm like, oh, I started editing it. And I'm like, I'm never doing that again. I don't like listening to myself. And I probably went 2 years without listening to a podcast. And I haven't listened to that many. But like I said, I was like, well, let me just check out the beginning again so I can write the intro. So I can record the intro. That was it. I'm going to listen for 3 minutes. So I just have an idea for the intro. And it was 20, 25 minutes later. I was like, way to go, Tom. Which is a cool thing if you've been me and been hard on yourself your whole life, because that's what you were taught. So to like me and be proud of me, definitely a cool thing. So my wish, my hope, you can say those things. I have less of everything and I'm better. I like me. I'm proud of me. I like what I do. I like how I think. I like how I stop, pause, and reflect, sit in quiet, look at it as solitude. I like how I choose my response. Because you are worth it. Hello, and welcome to your pro-you moment. As I always, stoked you're here. Let's begin to control that which we can. Let's sit on the floor, cross our legs, eyes closed, shoulders over the hips, navel tucked into the spine, neutral neck. We'll draw the inhale through the nose, we'll slow it down, elongate it. Allow the exhale out the mouth, slow it down, elongate it. Try to keep that rhythm, that flow, and that connection. That will keep you present and distracted from everything else that's waiting for you once you're done. If anything prematurely enters the space between your ears, just kindly, calmly ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Thank you. Bravo. Well done. Congratulations. Another successful pro-you moment. You know, when I say the words pro-you moment, I automatically just think of little things done consistently and how over my entire life, but especially the last 7 years, how many times I've thought of a pro-you moment. This is a pro-you moment. This is good for me. This thing, this person, this place, this food. This thing I'm reading. This thing I'm watching. This thing I'm doing. How I'm doing it. It's to make me a better me. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't happen automatically. But it happened. I'm far from perfect. Wonderfully flawed. But what I feel is different than I've ever felt before. Being able to look at what I do is simple. Yet effective. Makes me thankful. I don't have to work hard at helping people. I can just do that. The accumulation over time of those little things done consistently. Will bring clarity, will bring a shift in perspective, and you'll understand why it's so important to be pro-you every day, every moment. Check those boxes, deem yourself worthy. Peace and God bless.